VoiceOver describes what's happening on your iPhone screen.
VoiceOver on, settings.
So you can navigate it just by listening.
Books, contacts, calendar, double tap to open. Breakfast with Anna from 10 to 11.
And get on with your day. Accessibility. There's more to iPhone.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Welcome to our book club. Actually, is this number four?
It is number four.
Okay, and we have travelled the world in this book club. We have done France, we've done Nigeria, we've done Australia, and now we found ourselves in
Gothenburg in Sweden.
That's right, for a tiny little book. And that's some of you who have emailed to say that it was just the right size, just
and
the right length.
Some people think it is, you don't get enough bang for your buck.
Exactly that. An Elderly Lady is Up to No Good is the title of the tome. And it's written by a woman called Helen Thurston and translated into English by Marlene Delargy. Hope that's correct. People who translate books do deserve credit always, don't they? Because it's not the easiest.
No. And it's a tricky job, isn't it? Because I think it's one of those jobs where people are probably only going to notice when they think something's wrong, not when they think all the rest of it is right.
And I never know how much license people translating books have. Presumably they can't alter too much, but they must actually have an impact.
And it's hard to know who gets to decide.
Yeah.
Because presumably it's being translated into English because Helene didn't fancy translating it herself. She's the only person who'd really know the true direction of a sentence.
But Helen does speak English because you're going to hear from her during the course of this podcast.
So true.
Yeah.
Do you want to just do a quick summary of the plot of the book, such as it is? Because it's not actually a typical book.
Such as it is.
No, well, because it's not a book. It's not a method results conclusion novel.
No. I mean, we probably ought to say that Helen Thurston is a successful Swedish author, and she'd written other stuff before she turned to Maud and created her. And I think in the course of the conversation we have with her, you'll find out why she created Maud. It was for a specific task she'd been set. But she's the hit author of two mystery series set in Sweden, all around the detective Irene Huss. And then she came up with another lead character, Embla Nyström, and wrote books about her investigations as well. So she's a highly successful and much respected Swedish author. But Maud is at the centre of this book. And it's the first in a series, isn't it? Because there are a couple about Maud. An Elderly Lady's Up to No Good, and then An Elderly Lady Must Not Be Crossed. Is it just the two books about Maud?
Well, I think she does say in the interview, doesn't she, that more are coming and that those have already been bought up and we might be seeing them on the silver screen as well. So they're hugely popular. The Elderly Lady is Maud, and we meet her. We don't find out huge amounts about her backstory, do we? But enough to understand that it's been a quite difficult life. And we're meeting her in her 80s, aren't we?
Yes, she's at a very advanced age. Yeah. I think she's 88, isn't she?
And she had a sister who had been incredibly unwell as a child. And so you're led to believe at several points during the stories that that's had a huge impact on her, actually, and probably rather curtailed her own development, actually, as a child. But then her sister had died in adult life, and Maud's family had also fallen on hard times. Mm. So they were a wealthy family with quite a lot to show for it. And suddenly all of the money had gone.
Mm. And as we join Maud, it's 40 years since her sister has died. And she's living, not quite rent-free, is she? But she's living in a rather nice place that she's getting at a reduced rent.
Yes, which is the last kind of thing that her family owned or kind of could lay claim to. Although actually we then discover that there's an enormous amount of silver and some very precious paintings in the apartment.
Bit of a girl is Maud. Lots of question marks about her. And it really, again, it's a great choice for a book club because it's properly divided opinion. And we cannot thank you enough for taking part. And really, honestly, it's slightly surprising to me that so many people are prepared to do it because I'm a lazy sod. So I'm always really impressed that other people put the work in. So it's janeandfee@times.radio, and that's the email address for any message you have for us. But we're particularly grateful to all those people who took part in this. I just want to mention this really brief email from Rachel. I listened to the free audiobook. This was another way of listening. You could listen to Helen's book on Audible, if you remember, and it actually came free on Audible. Just as the one show is Blue Peter for adults, this book, I thought, was Pippi Longstocking for grown-ups. Mildly amusing, hardly great literature. And yet there were people who thought that, but there are also people who really loved it.
We have got as many emails liking it and liking it for its kind of idiosyncrasies as well. So it is just, physically, it's a tiny book. It's about half the size of a normal book. Mm. And I think it's only 184 pages long. People have really, really loved that. People have found Maud to be very entertaining, a very good creation, because actually it doesn't all get resolved in the end and she doesn't get her just desserts. Justice is not served on her. She just carries on her wicked ways. And then we've got exactly the same number of people who just found it incredibly irritating. It didn't go far enough. They were annoyed that there wasn't a resolution, there wasn't enough of a backstory, and also that these stories are quite repetitive because the kind of MO of Maud is the same every time. She meets somebody who really annoys her and then she kills them.
But, I mean, again, some people are making a very serious point that elderly women in general can be dismissed. They can certainly be the victims of violent crime, as can men. It's just more likely. Actually, it's not more likely that it's women, is it? It's just that we tend to fetishise the murders of women than men. But there is no doubt that women are, in the world, are quite vulnerable. And Maud just turns this on its head. And you can't... Well, people do ignore her and they do dismiss her. But can I just say, they were wrong to do so, as it turns out.
Shall we read some of these emails? I'm going to go with a couple of people who didn't really like it, which might leave you to do the sunshine areas. Are you happy with that?
Yes, because I specialise in sunshine areas.
OK. This coming in from Celia. I was very much enjoying the book, thought the old lady was quirky, horrific, amusing and frustrating in equal measure. I loved the fact that it wasn't a difficult or complicated read, but... then it ended so abruptly. I felt like the author had literally been told, time's up, if you can finish your sentence and put your pen down. So I was very frustrated as I wanted so much more. It felt incomplete and left me wanting more of an explanation or a resolution. Then I discovered there was another book and bought it and read it quickly. I can honestly tell you I now feel like I've read a proper book. I feel so much more satisfied and so much more positive about having a satisfying ending. I can't recommend the second book enough. The old lady redeems herself. So that's interesting, isn't it?
Oh, okay.
We're reading something at the beginning. And this one comes from Wendy. Disappointing is the word I'd use for the latest book. I think you must have been fooled by the title. Well, the title is superb. I prefer to read a book, but as this one is only in hardback, I use the audiobook as it's free with Audible. That gave a clue that if they were giving it away, it couldn't be that much good.
But can I just say, in defence of Audible, that's not true in my experience. There's some quite good stuff that's free. I'm not speaking for Audible. Although if they were to offer me money, I would.
Please offer her money. Richard Osman does these older person crime stories so much better. Please can the next choice be available in paperback and be a little bit more challenging? Right, some good ones, please.
Yeah, well, we've heard the paperback message, haven't we? And yeah. I think we probably would acknowledge that was something we got wrong this time. So apologies for that. Louise in Hampshire says, I can see why people wouldn't be keen on this story, as Maud never gets her comeuppance, but I liked how different it was. I especially appreciated the different depiction of an older lady that it gave us. If older ladies do get a look in on TV and in books, they're usually sweet old ladies, dishing out nuggets of wisdom. Granted, maybe making her a heartless serial killer was something of an overcorrection. I'm 33 and fortunate enough to still have my gran with us. While she's not up to anything illegal that I know of, she is certainly not a bland, demure old lady. So it was really good to see an older woman with some individuality presented in the book. I'm really looking forward to hearing what others think, says Louise. And that, I'm glad, thank you, Louise, for that. I think it's really important, that point you make, that they are just benign little dollops, twinkly little white-haired biddies who bestride the cultural landscape. And, you know, old people can be really horrible. I mean, they really can. They can say horrible things, they can do horrible things, they can be horrible, just like the rest of us.
And there is quite a lot of evidence, isn't there, that in much older women, that kind of nurturing niceness atrophies into something quite unpleasant. So I think maybe Helene has put her finger on it. There was something in brackets from Hampshire.
Louise from Hampshire, the county says high fee.
Thank you.
I was just going to ignore that. She spotted that your sight's not as bad as you make out, is
no,
it?
No, I just wanted to say hello back. So this one describes it. This is Beata, who's listening in Nova Scotia in Canada. Complete tosh. Thankfully, I only spent 3 hours on it. Beata has done a numbered review. I do like that, actually. I love a bullet point. Number one, every murder conveniently facilitated by hard or sharp surfaces, so she doesn't have to get too close herself. Two, frivolous reasons to want to kill someone. I suspect quite often they are, though, aren't they? Number three, multiple getting away with murder situations, just not believable. Four, maybe she'd be able to sneak around unseen in the 60s, but not in the last few decades with CCTV.
I thought that was a good point.
It is a good point. But CCTV and what do they always now do in crime fiction? They triangulate your mobile phone signal, don't they, in order to find out where you were. Mm. And it just takes away some of the magic. It certainly takes away all of the legwork that the detectives can be doing and the use of the little grey cells, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I think Maud, she's not operating in the present day, is she?
No. It is in that lovely kind of space, isn't it, where you can't hugely identify what era she's actually living in. And I really loved the descriptions of Gothenburg and of the apartment in particular. So I'm imagining this rather kind of Manhattan-style red brick mansion with big apartments in it. And I don't know whether that's actually the reality of buildings in Sweden, but it's all beautifully described. I really like all the settings.
Yeah, it's all very lovingly described. Yeah. Marion says, my feeling was that the reader was supposed to feel let down at the end of this book. I think it was the author's way of saying sometimes people do get away with bad deeds, as did the old lady all her life, with no price to be paid by her for her actions. When we read a book like this, we expect there to be a neat conclusion that fits with wrongs being righted. Which they were in some cases throughout this book, but mostly just for the old lady to have things her own way, leaving you feeling that she should have paid some kind of price for her actions. Marion's right. I mean, often we're always told we like crime fiction because we like things to be resolved and tied up. We are frightened by the initial crime and then we are comforted by the knowledge, usually at the end of most crime books, that the killer's been caught and that we don't need to feel quite so worried anymore. But it doesn't happen in this case.
But there are hints, aren't there? Because as you get to the end of the book, there is a canny policewoman who clearly sees Maud for who she is, but she gets overruled in her desire to carry on the investigation.
Yeah, she's a woman, of course.
Yeah, and maybe that's where book two picks up.
But that's another good point about women being overlooked, isn't it? Because the female detective is dismissed.
Yeah, she is. She's not listened to. Yeah. So did you like it?
That's a good question. I don't think I'll be reading any more about Maud. I wonder whether it will make a really interesting, quite expensively done TV series. It might. It will obviously depend on who's cast as Maud. And I don't know whether Judi Dench would fancy a trip to Gothenburg, but I would imagine it would be someone of that ilk. It would need a properly good actress to transport you to the serial killing world of Maud, because she's being really evil. And she does need to, for the viewer to want to go with her, the viewer in this case, she needs to have a real twinkle, doesn't she? I don't know how likeable she seemed.
No, because also what's intriguing about it is that the people who she kills are not people who you as the reader have been encouraged to dislike or distrust.
No, exactly.
So your sympathies are all over the place, really.
Yeah.
What I did like was the fact that here was a counterintuitive lady getting up to all sorts of unpleasant things. And I'm not suggesting that it's the way forward for Britain's older women. Life in the serial killer lane isn't ideal. Because you will be caught now with the CCTV, and rightly, because it's not good.
Yep. I liked her, but I didn't like her enough to forgive what she was doing. But I also really wanted to know a bit more about her family life, because the way that the story was told, especially about her engagement, so she'd fallen in love, hadn't she? But then when the parents of her betrothed realised that the family didn't have any money,
yeah, it was all gone
after the death of her parents, they called off the engagement on her behalf. So there was this kind of build-up. You could understand why she was bitter. And also having a sibling who takes up all of the oxygen in the room and all of the attention, and then after your parents die, you have to step into that caring role. I thought those two things were really intriguing, and I wanted to know more about that. Basically, so I could like Maud more. But that's quite a canny depiction of what life actually does to you.
Yeah.
It can knock you around, and there isn't that, oh my God, she's turned the negatives into a positive. So
Maud doesn't, though, does she?
No, she doesn't. She sticks on the negative.
She goes with the negative and makes it into a gigantic ball of murder. Actually, this is from Liz. The protagonist was elderly and, because of her age, was just too often dismissed as a possible culprit. Unfortunately, the elderly are often too invisible. So for me, this book was really clever, an entertaining vehicle for mirroring the frequent perception of older members of society. Sadly, just not worth worrying about. It's a great little book, says Liz. And there are lots of people who just say, actually, it might be small, but it packs a punch, this. It really does.
That's what Jill, long-time listener, says. What an awesome pick for book club. I would never have read it otherwise. A perfect snack-sized read, easily consumed in a single sitting or eked out by grazing a story at a time. Is there a little bit of Maud in all of us? Though impulse control is a good thing. Jill puts that in brackets. I'd underline that, actually, Jill. Mm-hmm. And Jill wants to give a shout out to Sydney City Libraries Australia for having this book on their shelves. We would like to apologise for the fact that this proved to be a difficult book to get hold of for our listeners. And, you know, note to self, we'll make sure that the next one is available anywhere. It'll probably be The Bible Left by the Gideons.
Oh, I'd struggle with that, because that isn't short. Oh, well, the Gideon Bible's a bit shorter, isn't it? Do they still have them in every single house?
I don't know. Could someone check for us?
Yeah.
I think I suspect not, but I might be wrong.
Yeah. Okay. Do they have them in Airbnbs?
No. You just have everybody else's books, which is always really interesting.
Just E.L. James, the Mrs. Still best book of the last decade.
As you're listening to me, Daisy, Apple's iPhone disassembly robot, is dismantling an iPhone into lots of recyclable parts. That's how Apple recovers more materials than conventional recycling methods. Thanks, Daisy. There's more to iPhone.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Isn't it time we brought in Helen Thurston?
Yes, it is.
Author of An Elderly Lady Is Up to No Good.
for the benefit of our listeners, can you just tell us a little bit about your life without writing, if you see what I mean? So before you became a writer.
Okay. I was born in Gothenburg on the western coast of Sweden. At first, I worked as a nurse for some years, and then I went to university and became a dentist. I worked as a dentist for about 10 years, but then I was struck by a rheumatic illness, and I couldn't go on working as a dentist because you need to be strong in your hands, and I wasn't that anymore. So after some years, I realized I had to do something else, and I have always been reading a lot. And my husband is also a dentist, but before he went to university, he worked as a policeman for 6 years. So I thought, what will I write? I love crime novels. And I thought, I will write about a female police woman with a quite ordinary life, but an exciting job. And that's when I started to write a serial about Irene Huss.
So when did you then decide that you would kind of cross over to the other side and write about somebody who's committing crimes, not solving them?
To be honest, Maud came to me and I wrote the new first short story about Maud at 2011. It's a funny story because I had promised a publishing house to write a short story for an anthology with Christmas stories. And I totally forgot about it because I had so much to do. I was working on a new book. I was traveling in Europe, even in United States. And I forgot about it. And then 1 week before deadline, I remembered, my God, I was to write a story for that anthology. What am I to write about? I did not have an idea. And all of a sudden, she stood beside me, an old lady with white hair. And she said, why don't you write about me? And I thought, why should I write about an old lady? And then I looked into her eyes and I got goosebumps. And I know, yes, I'm going to write about that lady.
Because Maud is no ordinary old lady. And frankly,
not just a woman.
Well, I mean, take it seriously? Is she a psychopath?
Not a psychopath, no. My daughter, she is a psychologue. No, what was the English word?
Psychiatrist?
Yes. And she says that she has elements in her personality, that she's a borderline personality. And maybe some parts of a sociopath, because she is acting very normal towards other people. No one can suspect that she's a murderer. And then she has the other side. And she's calculating very coldly how to murder other persons. But she's not a serial killer. It's very important to say. She's a mass murderer because she has murdered more than two people. She's a mass murderer because a serial killer, they have their sexuality in murdering Andre to have a victim, to do things with a victim before, during, and after the killing. Murder has nothing like that. She is simply solving her problems when she feels that other people are problems. And then she strikes.
And if you were to write about her as a younger woman, would she have the same kind of tendencies?
Yes, I had written about her as a younger woman because there is two books about Maud. And in the other book, the English title is An Elderly Lady with Dark Secrets, I think. There she is. I write some stories about Maud as a younger woman. Yes, she has been doing this for many years.
I love the fact that the book contains details of the food that she eats. I'm always really interested in what characters in books eat, and I love that kind of ordinariness of them deciding what they're going to have. And Maud will eat after a crime, won't she? She'll settle down with some lovely Christmas ham, for example, or something like that.
Yes.
Why do you?
She's not so interested in food, I think, but she likes to have ordinary good food and some wine and a beer and maybe a gin and tonic. That's good.
There was something quite tantalising towards the end of An Elderly Lady Is Up to No Good, where I felt as a reader that you as the writer almost wanted Maud to get caught, but she doesn't get caught, does she? Is that so you can carry on writing about her?
Yes, but I think I wanted to write about how she uses her age and as a disguise, you could say. She's old and she plays like she doesn't hear so good, that she's a bit half demented and like a very old woman can be. She's not that at all, of course, but in front of the police, she always acts like that.
Yeah.
And they think, oh, she can't have done anything. She's so old.
Yes. No, they dismiss it, don't they? Statistically, across the world, are old women the least likely people to commit murder?
Yes.
They are. Okay. So yeah. Maud would be a real outlier.
Yes. But she started quite young. I think her first murder was committed when she was 25 or something like that. And I write about that in the second.
Right. So, I mean, it doesn't say a lot for the authorities in your home country, I have to say. Do you think they would have caught her in real life?
I'm not so sure. She's very clever.
Will you write more of Maud as an old woman?
Actually, I had written some weeks ago a new short story, but that is a plot for one of the films. Maud is going to be filmed. It's a producer from America who has bought the rights. They are preparing for like films. They asked me for, could you write some more short stories? So it's not for publishing in magazines, anthologies. It's a film plot.
And does it make you, as a writer, feel more comfortable about getting old or slightly more fearful about getting old yourself?
I hope I won't be like Maud.
Please don't
problem. I'm 70, so I'm not that young.
No, but there's something rather comforting, I think. I mean, I know she does very bad things, but she does bad things to people who are quite annoying. So there's something quite comforting, I think, in writing an elderly woman with power. You know, which gives us all something to look forward to. But I may be revealing my own psychopathic tendencies now, so I'll stop.
Helene Thurston, and we're very grateful to her for coming on, and it'll be intriguing to watch the series when it comes out. So far, two out of four of the books we've chosen have become available or will be available on the big screen. Are you thinking that the Cemetery one might ever come to Netflix near
no,
you?
I'm not, no.
Oh, I think that's a missed opportunity.
I think it might be made into one of those fabulously moody and not especially obviously entertaining French films. Because, after all, it couldn't get any more French, could it?
It was very French indeed.
Yeah.
It really
was. French cinema is a world all of its own.
I don't like French cinema. And actually, in that Culture Fix thing that I did for the newspaper upstairs.
Yes. Just explain what that was.
Oh, so it's just, you've done it, haven't you? You just choose.
No, I've never been asked.
It's coming your way. They just ask you lots of questions, what you're reading and all of that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And they ask you what you could kind of do without, and I said French cinema. Because it's just old men and young bosoms. That is the celebration in French cinema. I just don't want to see either of those things anymore.
No,
but in defence of Fresh Water for Flowers, I think it was slightly different, wasn't it? Yes, it wasn't. It wasn't Gérard Depardieu and Alain Delon
having a fondle.
No,
well, not with each other. More's the pity. Ooh, not that I'd want to see that either. By
anyway,
the way,
sorry. The reason for mentioning the culture of fix is because it was out there, and quite a few people did say you're just a real heathen. You just don't understand it at all. And that's the other thing I hate about French cinema.
Well, can I just
say it's used as this kind of weapon against people you just don't understand.
Je comprends pas.
And I don't.
Well, I'm completely with you. I was going to say sister. What's the French for that?
Sir.
Sir. Yeah, it doesn't really work.
That doesn't work at all.
But I'm with you. Tant pis. Debbie says...
sorry, what?
Too bad. Tant pis? Is it tant pis?
I don't know.
Okay. People will know. Debbie... I want to say a huge thank you for introducing me to the author, Ellen Thurston. I devoured An Old Lady Is Up to No Good. I loved it, and I went straight on to An Old Lady Must Not Be Crossed, which was also extremely satisfying. It may be my age, but I love reading about a super smart and underestimated old woman disposing of some fairly unpleasant people. Yeah, that was Fee's point earlier. They are only fairly unpleasant without being caught. Even today, women are frequently underestimated, and when you get to my age, 62, you're also invisible, so I'm afraid to say I was somewhat cheering on the psychopathic old lady as she delivered her own style of retribution. I'm now going to start reading Hélène's Detective Inspector Huss series, so thank you so much for finding me a new author to follow. And that's great. If we put you on to Hélène's wider work, wider body of work, then I think that's a job done. That's really good.
Yep. Sue is in Chalfont St Peter. Wanted to join.
Can I just say, I welcome any correspondence from the Chalfonts, because there are quite a few, aren't there?
So it's the Cockney rhyming slang, isn't it, for piles, because there's a Chalfont St Giles.
Yes, there is.
So how are your Chalfonts?
I've only got one.
Is it called Peter?
I'll tell you what I call it. Anyway, carry on.
Wanted to join in with your excellent book club this month. It was a pleasingly short book full of fun with a hint of menace. The character of Maud is very skillfully brought to life, and while she's very much a badden, you always feel that she'd convinced herself that she had no choice but to deal with her various problems as they occurred. And I think that's a good point made by Sue in the Chalfonts, because there is that feeling, isn't there, that as an older woman on her own, there's no one who can help her solve a problem. So when the noise gets irritating in the apartment block, you do think, there's no one going, Maud, sit down, have a cup of tea.
Weirdly, of all the bits in the book, it's the noise that I could sympathise with her about, because it's something that I've sort of vaguely encountered in my street. Not with my immediate neighbours, but with a neighbour of mine who was being impacted hugely by noise from younger people who lived above her. And honestly, the woman's life was made a complete misery. People just are so selfish sometimes. I mean, they really, really are. So there, Maud did have my sympathy. Have I made that clear?
You certainly have. And watch out, Jane's neighbours.
Oh, they don't worry. They know who they are.
Yeah. I think that's a real... We should do a story about that on the show, shouldn't we? I think it's a real scourge of modern life, these people who do kind of... 2-3 year building projects in London, digging out basements.
And it's things like if you live under, is it parquet flooring? What's the flooring that is incredibly noisy?
Probably parquet.
If you're living underneath it. I mean, there's a reason people used to go for carpets. They, at least not only, I think the place is warmer with a carpet, but you just don't make as much noise. Mm. It's that thumping.
And lots of people, when they take their carpets up and sand the floor, they don't put anything in between the timbers, do they?
So, there's no cushioning.
No, nothing at all. Mm. So, yeah, you are stuffed. So, yeah, that would drive you bonkers. And Maud doesn't have anyone, kind of saying, why don't we just go for a walk and diffusing it, does she?
Well,
so when she sees a problem, she just keeps going until the problem has gone.
We never quite know whether she's lonely or just alone, or perhaps a combination of the two. I wasn't quite sure. But and that was it was another aspect of the book, I think. But people will have their views on that. I want to thank Caroline, who has emailed from Perth, an expat living in Perth, Western Australia. I've read all three book club books. This last I enjoyed while having my leg elevated and on ice following half a knee replacement, a sign that my own body is ageing like Maud's. I thought it was a delightful collection of stories, a thoroughly delicious and malicious concept, the vigilante granny.
To be taken as it was intended, I think, a darkly humorous insight into the mind of a wronged and disrespected octogenarian who had the wherewithal to do away with the people she disliked. Highly implausible, but easy to read and good fun. And there is a photograph of Caroline's new knee, or half a new knee. I don't quite know why you're only getting half of one.
I'll tell you what, it looks splendid.
It does look good.
Yeah.
And you can tell it's just basking in the Australian sunshine. Mm. Over there in Perth.
And shall we end? Do you have many more to get through, or can I do an ending?
You carry on.
Yep. From Julie, who's in Geelong in Australia. Felt the book really needed the fresh perspective of the neighbour, Richard Berg, and the inspectors as I was looking for a counterpoint to Maud. And she's put her finger on it, hasn't she? There wasn't a counterpoint in the book.
No.
It's just, it's very, very Maud perspective.
Well, I suppose it was, but that left us... I'm beginning to think now that this book was cleverer than I realised.
Now, you see, Jane. Stop it.
It's the pace at which I move.
That's the joy of book clubs.
Which illustrates my stupidity. I think it might have gone over my head slightly. I dismissed it as being fluffier than I now realise it actually is. And that is thanks to the people who've emailed.
Brilliant. It's worked, Kate. It's worked. But it is lovely, isn't it? Because other people say stuff that you haven't quite managed to solidify in your own brain. And I think that's a good way of putting it, Julie. Who then goes on to say, I started to think of the very capable, no-nonsense older women I know. I wonder, fed up and in need of some long overdue justice, what they might be up to. A nice capturing of yet another self-sufficient, invisible, smart woman being underestimated.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Just because I thought there's real effort gone into this email from Maria, who says that she likes, just as a kind of mind hobby, to make up stories about the people she sees as she goes about her daily life and does her business. And she says, I had a fantasy about the little old lady, someone who lived nearby, and I'd see her on a dog walk here and there. She hoarded rubbish, which was overflowing from her garage and garden gate, and was often dishevelled, but seemed to enjoy wandering around the public gardens outside her house. I had a story for her, totally alone, not managing, needing help. If I ever approached her or smiled her way, she wouldn't acknowledge me. I totally get this. I was just being patronising. I used to work at the local supermarket customer service desk and eventually clocked her doing her shopping. I pointed her out to a colleague and explained she may be vulnerable and need assistance. The colleague corrected me straight away, saying she's extremely wealthy, rude to everyone, and often forgets to pay for fish from the fish counter. In other words, a real-life Maud. Oh, thank you for that, Maria. Oh, I think we've got the people standing outside.
They are standing outside. So thank you to everybody who sent us emails. I'm sorry that we didn't read yours out, if you are thinking...
But we have read them.
Go on. That would simply be a matter of time and just the sheer volume of people who got in touch. So we hope that you got something from reading the book and being part of the discussion about it. And we are now open for business. Ding dong! For book club number 5. And we're thinking maybe...
Non-fiction?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
And dare we say, something from Britain?
Oh, good Lord.
Have I gone too far?
Now you're pushing the envelope.
Okay, all right, okay. Yeah.
And thank you for suggesting it in the first place. An Elderly Lady is Up to No Good by Helen Thurston. So we've got a copy, you've got a copy, I've got a copy. If anyone wants this copy, bung us an email, I'll send it to you.
Deceptively simple.
That's a bit harsh.
No, just I'm saying, it's like, ignore that.
No, if you want to call me deceptively simple, it's absolutely fine.
No, I meant the book.
Absolutely none taken. Goodbye. Well done for getting to the end of another episode of Off Air with Jane Garvey and Fee Glover.
Our Times radio producer is Rosie Cutler and the podcast executive producer is Henry Tribe.
And don't forget, there is even more of us every afternoon on Times Radio. It's Monday to Thursday, 3 till 5. You can pop us on when you're pottering around the house or heading out in the car on the school run.
Or running a bank. Thank you for joining us and we hope you can join us again on Off Air very soon.
Don't be so silly.
Running a bank?
I know, ladies.
A lady listener.
I'm sorry.
As
you're listening to me, Daisy, Apple's iPhone disassembly robot, is dismantling an iPhone into lots of recyclable parts. That's how Apple recovers more materials than conventional recycling methods. Thanks, Daisy. There's more to iPhone.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.